A few things have us thinking about skyscrapers. First, last month, the Skyscraper Museum in New York City opened an exhibit on super talls. Those are the buildings at or above the height of the Empire State Building. And if you're on the East Coast, you may have felt the 5.8 magnitude earthquake that hit Virginia yesterday. But did you know that a high-rise building is the safest place to go during an earthquake? That's what our next guest tells us. Jamie von Klemperer is a design principal at the architecture firm Cohn Pedersen Fox, a New York company that's designed one-third of the world's supertalls. He says high-rises are the most highly and over-designed structures known to man because they're built to withstand natural forces beyond your average building. But skyscrapers are also on many of our minds, of course, because of the 10th anniversary of the destruction of those two iconic supertalls in Manhattan. Jamie von Klemperer, after 9/11, some people believe that the era of super tall skyscrapers, at least in the U.S., was over. Why?
Yeah, I think there was a very strong gut reaction, not only among us New Yorkers who were surrounded by the horrors and the chaos, but just a sense of logic that if such robust structures as the World Trade Center could be brought down, then why was any skyscraper safe? And the pictures were so gut-wrenching. The experience was telegraphed and televised and shown to everybody. It was very hard to escape that feeling for the layman who didn't understand exactly what safety measures can be brought to high-rise buildings.
But they continue to be built. Where are we seeing them now?
In the Middle East, and even more so in the Far East, in China, in Korea, in Hong Kong. And of course, it has a lot to do, the Far Eastern boom, with the tremendous growth of the Asian city and the general rise of the economies of China and surrounding nations. Given the huge populations and the influx of people from the countryside, these cities are growing by leaps and bounds, and there's actually a shortage of land.
So it makes sense to go up.
Because a high-rise, especially a super high-rise building, is the most efficient way to use land. In a plot of 2 or 3 acres, one can get a population of 10,000 people working in a large building.
So it's not just perhaps showing off sort of your engineering prowess, how high you can go. It's really practical for many of these countries to do it in this way.
I think with such tremendous works of the great wonders of the world, which these structures are, there are a number of fundamental underlying reasons which stimulate the building of the projects and the public policies and the private industries that go to support them. A part of it is a matter of pride. The Chinese have been a sleeping nation for 200-300 years, but their world history and their future put them in the place of some kind of world primacy or at least a parity with the Western world. And so it's no wonder that they would try to erect the trophies that we all know about. Nobody doesn't know about the tallest building in the United States or the demise of the tallest building or the tallest building in Paris is well known. The tallest building in China now is well known. So in a matter of maybe 5-6 years of planning and construction, something incredibly memorable, indelible, and powerful can be created.
You mentioned China being awakened as an economic power. Is there a parallel in terms of how an economy is doing and when a country might decide it's going to build a super tall skyscraper?
Absolutely. In fact, as we look not just at the skyscraper, but the building of the major structures that represent the institutions and the businesses that run the country of an emerging nation in New York City of 1910 to 1930, the train station, the public library, Empire State Building, Chrysler Building, etc., these are expressions of tremendous achievements. In the same way, China, around the time of the Olympic boom, has built its opera house, its train station in Beijing. So the high-rise building goes along with this. It's one of the markers in the city that establishes an urban conglomeration as something exciting, something vibrant, and something profitable.
The construction of these buildings is a real feat. What are some of the challenges that architects like you, as well as engineers, face when designing a super tall skyscraper?
Contrary to what perhaps would be intuitive, is not so much the vertical weight, the gravity weight of the building. It's rather the horizontal thrust of either an earthquake or wind. And actually, in most cases, wind tops all of these forces, which push on the building.
Meaning cause it to sway?
Cause it to sway, cause parts of it to fail if the building weren't reinforced properly. It's better, stronger, more effective to allow a building to move slightly. But that movement has to be controlled because, of course, buildings are for people. They have to be comfortable. So quite elaborate sciences have to come together to support these buildings, and an expertise which is deep enough that you wouldn't want somebody doing this for the first time. Experience counts.
You don't practice becoming an engineer and architect on a super tall.
No, it's one of our collaborators, Les Robertson, was one of the great structural engineers of our day and towards the end of his career now, as a young man, designed the World Trade Center here in New York. So he's a man whose life has been framed and shaped by the emergence of these tall structures, and he knows them the way, let's say, a mountain climber who's climbed all 40 peaks of above a certain height knows. And he has an intuition for the sense of how structures and tall dimensions and building practices interact.
What are your favorite super tall skyscrapers, and why are they your favorites?
One of them would have to be the Chrysler Building. It's partly because it captured the spirit of an age of industry, and it's borne the test of time. It's a building which New Yorkers love to look at. Any real estate broker will tell you that if an apartment has a view of the Chrysler Building or an office floor does, the value goes up. The work of my partner, Bill Patterson, the Shanghai World Financial Center is one of my favorite buildings because it has a kind of magic of changing its shape depending what part of the compass point one looks at it from. It's a kind of a sculpture. To make a sculpture out of something that has as rigorous a set of utilitarian needs as the structure of a high-rise is I think, a great achievement. And I think the building, likewise, has become a favorite in Shanghai. It's become almost a symbol of the city.
In the original King Kong, of course, King Kong climbs the Empire State Building. If that movie were remade today, what building do you think the directors would have him climb?
He probably would climb the Burj Khalifa.
In Dubai?
Yeah, because King Kong was big. He needs a big building, and he probably needs a kind of risk factor of climbing up to a thin needle. Also, the Burj Khalifa is a residential building. You could imagine the terror of the people inside apartments as they would look out of their bedroom and see, you know, a giant gorilla's foot on their window ledge. You know, that building, as many high-rise buildings, they're made for drama. They serve really well for movie sets, whether it's James Bond, King Kong, or other movies.
Jamie von Klemperer, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jamie von Klemperer is a design principal at the architecture firm Cohn, Pedersen, Fox in New York.